Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is the Agape World Bible Prayer and Delivery Ministry. Pastor Ruth from North Carolina on October 27th, 2021. We welcome you. We welcome you in the precious name of Jesus for another day, another opportunity to come before you, to pray with you, to lift up the holy name of Jesus, and to give glory and honor and praise to his name tonight, to still be above ground. So we praise God for that. And thank you, Satan, God, even in spite of what's going on and how things have been happening. But, you know, I'm here to encourage you to continue to press forward toward the mark of a higher calling in Christ Jesus. Because I'm telling you something, in this season time, especially in that no time, we have no better turning back on God. Because really and truly, there's no one but him that can bring us out. But he also has to have willing vessels to allow him to do it. So I just want to encourage each and every person tonight. In spite of, I am encouraged. In spite of, I just sitting here thinking, I was telling the Lord, I've come too far to go back. Yeah, I'm not saying that the things is not happening. I'm not saying that the persecution is not getting worse. I'm not saying that, everything around me is okay. I'm not saying that God is just jumping and answering every question right there, because he's always working his will. But when you begin to understand him and begin to understand who he is and the purpose that he's doing, then you can rest in him. And the scripture tells us, even with the Old Testament people, the reason they couldn't rest in him because they did not mix what Moses and them were teaching and telling them with faith. I'm not talking about just the word faith. It got to be a knowing in your heart that no matter what it looks like, smell like, or taste like, that God has not lost control. There are some things he's going to allow and permit that just the way it is. And we have to accept that because he's all wise and all wisdom. So we're going to bless you, bless the Lord tonight. We're going to praise him, and I'm going to go ahead on and pray. And then after I pray, I sit that one call hands up so I make it that before I go to the word. And because if I get to the word, I may not get a chance to, to get the call. But we just thank and praise God, like I said again tonight. Lord, we just come before you. I give you praise, I give you glory, I give you honor. And Lord, I thank you for what I see you doing. I thank you, Lord God, for what you have done. I even thank you, Lord God, for the things that I'm waiting on you to do, because I still see you in the midst of all this chaos and all this trouble that's going. I thank you and I praise you for that tonight, God. I thank and praise you for each and every person that called in, God, or even the people that, I minister to, Lord God, that I talk with. I thank and praise you for that right now in the name of Jesus, because, Lord, at least I am able to talk and to thank you. Father, I praise you. I don't take you for granted, because I saw a person, individual today and yesterday. They got a box in their throat, and, they can talk, but, talking kind of raspy. Father, in the name of Jesus, but they still working, still going. So, Lord, I thank you just to have my voice. I'm going to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. I'm not going to complain. I may even tell people my testimony, but, Lord, I'm not going to complain, because all things work together for good of those that love you and according to your purpose. So, Lord, I thank and I praise you for that right now. I thank and praise you, God, for so much. And, Lord, I just pray for this nation as a whole. I'm praying, Lord God, for revival, Lord God, like the one that you are allowing to come through when you gave this guy Mario Morello a vision about this one in California. God, that's the kind we need, Father, where your spirit is just drawing people and hitting people and got them repenting and filling them with the Holy Ghost and healing, delivering. God, that's the kind of revival that I'm talking about, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord God, I'm still calling forth. I'm still believing, Father, in the name of Jesus. And you know I have been praying this particular prayer for over the years, Father. So, Lord God, you did it. You gave him a vision, told him you're going to do it. So, God, I believe that you are answering the prayer. I believe it started out there. But, Lord, I pray you go all over the world in the name of Jesus. I pray for, Lord, those in the White House. I pray for our country. I pray for each and every person in there, Lord, not a particular person, but everyone you has called out, because you tell us in your word, Father God, that we are supposed to pray for everyone in authority. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for the peace. So Lord, I pray for each and every person, Father, in the hospital and nursing home, God, in the elderly home, in the mental institutes, wherever. Lord, I pray for you right now. Lord, I come against the murdering spirit that's in this land, Father God. Lord God, where so many people are getting killed, so many people are dying, Father, in the name of Jesus. So much hate in this world, God, because you said in your word, Father God, it is the person's heart that is desperately wicked. Not the color of their skin, not because of what they is, who they is, whatever. When a person's heart is not right, they will just do anything. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we have to understand, when our heart leads you, we may not kill people. We still physically kill them, but we'll kill them with our mouth or something else we say. So, Lord, I pray for each and every person. I pray for each and every ministry that you has called and truly called, that is walking in righteousness, preaching, telling people the truth, God. I pray for them, Lord God, for the persecution that's coming to them, God, because of calling sin, Father, in the name of Jesus, and standing up for righteousness' sake, Lord God. I pray holy boldness upon them right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I'm still believing, Father God, that you can just totally deliver people and heal them so they can go and work for the kingdom of God, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just give you the glory, we give you the praise, we give you the honor right now in the name of Jesus. We pray amen and amen. So we just thank and praise God tonight, like I said, that to even be on, no matter how much persecution I go through, no matter what's going on, you know, Lord, keep on giving me words and reminding me I have called and ordained you. You will do the work that I've called you out to do. So, you know, that's encouraging to me to hear the Lord say that. Because sometimes, like I say, if you don't trust in God and God has given you something to do and you see all the stuff, the enemy can drag you down because that's what he's trying to do. But, you know, you got to be adamant about doing the work that God has called you to do, whether anyone except you to be a part of it. So I just really, again, like I said, pray for people that's going through like that. Some maybe just started going through like that and trying to obey you. And, Father, they don't really understand what's going on because people reject them or people not supporting them or whatever it is. But I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I'm calling forth, Lord, about your anointing, your spirit, to go and tear down the kingdom of sin that's building up in the churches and the thing that people are not teaching people the truth, Father, they're entertaining people. God, in the name of Jesus, pleasing people, Father. I break the power of the devil right now, Father, and I ask you to expose those devils, pull them down, and establish a church of righteousness. Lord, not the building, but a people. A member of the body of Christ. And, Lord, I thank you for that right now. And I praise and give glory to God, the glory, the praise, and the honor in the name of Jesus. But I'm going to go ahead and accept this call for this prayer, and then I will go to the Word. So just in case, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 4845.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I can hear you now. Yeah.
God bless pray for you, Apostle Ruth. Pray for, I'm calling in for prayer.
Okay. For you or just in general or what?
Oh, for me, for the spiritual blessings, as long as I'm on my natural need for God to open up a door with my finances and give me the spirit to endure what I need or may have to endure, but I need. And I'm asking for the Father to move on my behalf. He already knows the situations, but, you know, with your finances, period, with your bills, this, that, or whatever. So that's my request and prayer tonight. And I touch and agree with the prayer that you already prayed.
Okay. Father, we're just going to come before you tonight. We thank and praise you, Lord God. You heard the request, God. Lord God, we're just going to speak it forth. In the name of Jesus, because you promised to do it. You promised, Father God, if we commit ourselves unto you, you say you bring the past. And so, Lord, if there's any hindrance that is keeping these the finances of spiritual growth, I sense that, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. That, Lord God, that you are doing the thing about the spiritual growth because you said if you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, you shall be filled. But God, it may seem like to her that she's growing slow, but she's growing at the pace that you would have her to grow. But make that hunger deeper. In her, Father, for the things of God in the name of Jesus, that she'll seek more and more and more and more for the things of God right now. We speak that forth because you promised in your word that if a person hunger and thirst for righteousness, you said, Lord God, that it shall be done. So we thank and praise you for that right now, Father. You also said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else going to be added. So, Lord, we're just going to touch and agree. We're going to speak for, Lord God, the things that she need, God, the things that you desire for her to have, Father. We're going to call them forth right now in the name of Jesus. We just come against, Lord, the power of the enemy that may come out to block it, because you have heard the prayers. And some things is just a time, and some things in the midst of what you're doing, you're teaching us how to have more faith and trust in you, Father, in the name of Jesus. But I stand in agreement, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, for that you are going to meet every need in the name of Jesus. But in the midst of it, you are teaching and God about to stand on the word of God. So, Father, I thank you right now. I'm in agreement with her, Father, in the name of Jesus. I'm in agreement with her, Lord God, even for her protection, God, from sickness or anything that come up under her. Lord, we ask you, Lord God, to put your shield of protection around her, Father, in the name of Jesus, as she abide in the shelter of the Almighty, Father, in the name of Jesus, in that presence, in that, Lord God, in your anointing, in your spirit, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord God, we ask you to send forth the angels, Lord God, hallelujah, in the name, to bring in the provision. And whoever is that connection, Father God, that you want to use to be a blessing in her life, to be a blessing in her finance, God, in her home, whatever it is, God, we ask you to shake them up, God. Don't let them rest, Father, until they do what you have called them out to do. Right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, because you witnessed with me in the spirit now from the north coast of me, that you heard the prayer and you are answering the prayer. So, Lord, help us to receive it by faith and thank and praise you for it. If she already have it in her hands, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and we take authority, as I said before, over every hindrance, every blockage, every demonic spirit that will come to try to hinder what your words say. Because you say your word will not go out and return to you void, but it will accomplish that what you please. And so, Lord, you have been hearing the prayer, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, you want to do in everything, Lord God, even into making a whole spiritual, physical, financial, emotional, every area, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we know, according to your word, we walk in obedience to your will, that everything has to come. Everything has to come. In the name of Jesus. So we thank you and we praise you right now for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen.
I have no doubt that God is going to do so. Like I said, once I start praying with me, like I tell you, any time the Spirit of God come upon me, it's a done deal right there. You know, basically, amen. I don't really have to keep praying, but sometimes I do. Because he's witnessed in the Spirit, he heard the prayer. But as we know, in the midst of some time with the way God operates, this is why I tell my testimony a lot, God be building our faith up. But what he's doing is he's sustaining us. He may not allow us to have the overflow right then. And when you study the Old Testament with the Israelites, okay, when they were going through the wilderness, he told them, man should not live by bread or but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He's not talking about what we know in the head, but in the spirit, and in the midst of it. Think about it. He did tell them he had a land flowing with milk and honey. But it was after they come out the wilderness. But in the wilderness, he sustained them. The overflow came when they walked into that next level. And this is why you hear me talk about that different levels and growth from glory to glory. And in certain levels, we'll see God begin to do more. He may begin to give us more revelation. That's because we're growing in the spirit. Even though in the natural around us, it don't look like it. But it's not what it looks like in the natural. But it's what the spirit means. How much more do I understand God? How much more do I know what he's doing? How much more obedience am I being to what he's telling me to do or to his word of God? But hallelujah, thank you. I see a few of God's presence. You can just thank and praise God for it because God is going to do it. I can't say he's not telling me how or how he's going to do it or when, but the thing of it is he's witness he's going to do it. So we thank him, we praise him for that. Because I'm waiting on the Lord to open up some finances, some things for me that he promised me to even to do for ministry, to be a blessing in the kingdom. You know, and I know he knows the best time when to do that and when to bring it in, you know, when to bring it in. So I'm just praising him for that. So I admonish you to do the same thing. But God will, like I say, a lot of time. Now, what he has been doing to me over the last whenever, but anyway, he'll allow so much to come in. Don't mean that he's not telling other people to do this, he's not doing, but I got to trust him in the midst of that, that at the right time, what I really truly need to do his work, because that's my part, B, and to be a blessing to his to whoever's in need that he tells me to bless. That's my heartbeat is. So we just thank and praise God. Hallelujah. I feel his presence. Glory to your name, God. So we just thank him for it. We thank him for hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for being a prayer answering God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I'm just going to say this and believe this by faith, that you will do some quick supernaturally to encourage our heart tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Because you said in your word, you promise. And if we do what your word says, you will keep your promise, because you said your word will not go out and return to you void. I mean, void, it will accomplish that which you please. And even to where you send it. So, God, your word. Your word. And as I said before, Lord God, not just with her, me, and anybody else, when we speak about what God say going to do, he cannot let his name go out, because it's for his name's sake why he have to do it. For his name's sake. It's not even because we need it. It's not even because we want it. But because we don't say, but God's going to do this. God's going to do that. Because, see, those who know me know I run that out of my mouth all the time. I never say what groups going to do. I never say what people going to do, this, that. But I always say, but God said it. His word said it. His word said it. Let that become a lifestyle. His word said it. So if I do what he tell me to do, then guess what? He going to have to do it. Even if he tells somebody else to do something for you, they don't do it, I don't get angry or upset with me. I say, they're not my source. He is. He made the promise. He made the promise. So guess what? If he made it, he got to do it, even if he had to take a person that is so stingy, as people say, that would never help somebody and have him come to answer the prayer. Because he would do that. Because see what people got to understand. God, he had to work through people. That's why we have to be available for him that work through us to help other people. But he have already assigned people to be that blessing. But sometimes people be disobedient, hard-headed, just like we once have done. And God had to work with them, and sometimes he had to almost, another word I used to use, he'll throw something, he'll knock their leg out from up under them. You know, so sometimes other people that he done told to be a blessing, sometimes they don't be obeying the Lord. They don't be obeying the Lord. I'm going to say a quick, short testimony real quick to encourage y'all to let you know how he worked in my life. One time, you know, he was telling me about, I kept getting prophecy about a car. Not the car, believe it or not, but a car. God would give me a car. Didn't know how it was going to come, who was going to come through. But I don't know. I just always had that prayer that I'm going to get something I'm going to have to pay for because of my dad. But anyway, the lady and the husband that God was going to use, I didn't know this at the time. They kept us trying to stay in Winston, although God had told them to leave Winston. He didn't tell them where. It's go to a place that had Twin City, like Winston Salem, but it was end up being Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They was trying to stay here. Now, like I said, at the time, I didn't know they was the one. But at the time, but eventually, after he told them that if they didn't go the way he told them to go, they end up saying they go starve. They're going to starve together. That's why I said, Pippi, they don't know God. God is real serious about obedience. Real serious about it. But anyway, eventually they did go. They started out. They didn't know where they were going, but she had vision. So when she got to the place, she saw. But anyway, what happened, ended up, they was the one that God was going to, that God did use to bless me with transportation. They didn't know what to tell. He didn't show it to them. He didn't show it to me either. So they was holding up my blessing. That's the point I get to. Sometimes I maybe tell all of it true, but they was holding up my blessing. So it's not that God has not heard us, okay? Especially if we walk in obedience. Whoever he may have told to be that connection, sometimes they're being disobedient because sometimes they think it's not them. I mean, they think it's not God. They think it's them. I want to bless Sister Rupert. I want to bless Sister So-and-so. I want to do that. God is saying, no, it ain't you. No, every good and perfect gift comes from God. I told you to do that. Yeah. I blessed you to do it, but you taking it and did something elsewhere. And so that's what happened a lot of time with people. So, but we believe that God's going to speed up whomever he has called out to be that blessing, because I say the same thing for my own walk with the Lord, and I say it for my daughter. And anyone else I'm standing with, I say the same thing. But what I'm going to talk tonight on about, out of Matthew, the 10th chapter and the 16th verse, this is about how Christ's disciples should expect persecution. And a lot of times I get so tired of hearing Christians, when people come against them and people this and people don't want to hear them, this, that. They say they know this is going to happen. But when they come out complaining, I don't know why they don't want to hear me. I don't know why they don't want to do it. If they understand Scripture, this is a part of a real, true believer, disciple for Christ. It's a suffer persecution. This is why I tell people to listen to people testimony in other countries and other places. You know, the one that really spread the gospel, that's a lifestyle for them. That is part of it. A disciple is, I'm going to give you some definition. A disciple is someone who should, is a learner. They're a pupil. They're a follower of a teacher, which is Christ. In this instance, they are a believer, a true believer. I'm not talking about somebody talking about I believe with a head knowledge. I'm not talking about them, okay? They are a Christian, a convert to a teaching or principle. They are a follower. They stick to the doctrine of another. All Christians are called Christ's disciples. They're still learning. This is why I tell people, after you get a certain time in the Lord, some people, I already know it all. Nobody needs to hear me nothing. I don't have to listen. That's a lie from the pits of hell. As long as we're in Christ, the different levels of understanding and revelation of the word, God can't give at a baby level in the spirit. So we always be learning. A believer is this. A believer is not just somebody because they say they're a believer. They're not somebody just because they go to church or read the Bible. Whatever terminology we want to say, they're not that. But a believer in theology, one who gives credit to the truth of the Scripture as a revelation from God and abide or live by that truth. If I don't live by the word or truth, the word of God, I am not a true believer. Because if I was, I am, which I am. But anyway, you believe all of the word. In today's society, I hear more people believe the word when they come by to God, blessing them and giving them what they want. But they don't believe God can heal, deliver, and set free. They're saved, but they don't really believe it. They don't believe God can take care of them. They don't believe it. That's not a true believer. The Bible says signs of wonders should follow the believer. Every person that got the Holy Ghost and that they live in, that the Bible said, and they got the Acts of 1 and 7, Acts 2 and 4, Holy Ghost, then signs of one follow them as they pray, believe, people, whatever it is, they're supposed to instantly see signs of wonder. If not, in their heart, they are not a true believer. It's just something coming up out of their mouth, because the Bible don't lie. The Bible don't lie at all. Every one of us, now we hear people saying, just because somebody's a prophet, just because somebody's a pastor, a teacher, you know, you're supposed to follow them. No, supposed to follow that person, too, if they are a believer, if they got the Holy Ghost. They're supposed to be doing the same thing, okay? And basically say, one who received the gospel as unfolding the true ways of salvation, of deliverance, and Christ as his Savior, believing that in their heart. A lot of us believe God, you know, as Savior. You know, Jesus saved us and all this. Well, we got to believe him as Lord. Lord is somebody who rules your life, every inch of your life. If I don't let God rule every inch of my life, I have not made him Lord over my life. I have not made him Lord over my finances. I have not made him Lord over my whatever it is. I have not made him Lord. I may say it, but if I still control it myself, I have not made him Lord over it. This is why I tell people, a lot of people say they're not sold out. But when you get sold out to him, he rules everything. You don't do anything unless the Spirit of God leads and guide you. That's somebody who has truly sold out everything about their life, from their life, the children, the house, whatever it is, job, whatever. He's ruling everything. He's Lord. He's just not Savior. Okay? Okay, the Bible says, he said, a Christ disciple should expect persecution. they should look for it, not go around with the peeping. But if, when it happens, I don't care who it come through, where it come, how it come. It can come from church people. It can come from other enemies. It can come from family. It can come from jobs. It can come from wherever. The Bible says Christ's disciples should expect persecution. It shouldn't surprise them when it happens, whoever it come from. Because especially if they're living for Christ, if they're trying to tell people, you know, about Christ and, you know, this, that, and other, even if they're not telling to these people, the enemy know. And Christians, with certain people, they don't think it should come through. They're not studying Scripture. I'm not saying I like it, but it's a reality. One thing what I try to do, I try to live life the way I see it, not the way I expect it to be. So that was a time in me, and I didn't come against people like that, even a sinner. But that was a time I did things that didn't please God. So if I did, other people can do it too. They have to come to the knowledge of it just like I did. And I talk to people sometimes, you know, but well, they ought to get it. I tell them, you know, you really need to shut up because you forget. One time you didn't want to hear. One time you didn't understand it. But now that you think you got it, but they don't have it because they didn't, wouldn't be saying that. Now you want them to just jump and get it like that. That's not reality. They don't do it for Jesus. But persecution is this. It's an act or practice of persecuting. Persecuting means to persevere with indignation. That means a strong dislike. When you are a child of God, people, I don't care who they are. It doesn't matter who they are. All this stuff that people got where certain people, they should do that. Where they say they're Christian, they say, but the Bible tells us, you know them by the fruits. You just say it's because somebody said they're Christian. Or if your family, or if your best friend's been had 20 years. It doesn't matter. He said this is going to happen. He said they do it with vengeance, particularly for sticking to a particular religion. The implication of, I mean, they inflict pain, punishment, or death. In other countries, people that preach the gospel, they can't care for preaching the gospel. Over here, we don't want anybody to hurt our feelings for trying to tell them something about the Lord. We're not living in reality. And most times, it's not over here, I'm not saying to everybody, in general, it's not because they're telling the truth and living right, no way. But that's what would come with it. Okay, he said, you got people going to be unjust to others, particularly because they stick to a particular religion, creed, or mode, or worship, either by way of penalty or compelling them to renounce their principle. Let me just use me. A lot of Christians, quote Christians, said believers, a lot of people God had me praying for, they want me to quit and stop believing God like I believe God. They want me to halfway believe Him. They tell me, well, you know, well, sometimes this, sometimes that, and recently I was talking to somebody, but anyway, I told him I refuse with the help of God to change. I'm going to believe it to the end. I don't care what it looks like. Can't what nobody tell me. But yeah, but sometimes this, and sometimes you have to wait so long. I told him, I said, some things, if you waiting on God to do something, and you know, He haven't done it in however long. I said, a lot of times the only thing we're serving God is for what He's going to do. I said, but if you were serving God, just to serve Him, and you've been waiting a long time, sometimes with people, years, they don't cut flips. So they're not serving God for what He can do for them or what He promised them or what should have happened to them. They're not serving them, okay? But it says these people, they're compelling them to renounce the principle. It's also harassing with trust or punishment. During the time, this was, like I said, during the time of Nero, and you study the Bible, it's come of Nero history, and in other countries, now Christians have and are being crucified on the cross. Okay? They're burning them at stakes. And they're being condemned for their faith. Those who are really teaching, telling people's truth, and those people are being, the reason people rejects me, I'm just going to use me, I know it's doing more me, but I'm talking about me, rejects me or want to argue with me or debate with me, it's because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Their faith in themselves or in other people. So they think that you shouldn't trust God like that. Or God is not this. So those people are going to be persecuted because of their faith. People are not going to want to listen to them because of their faith in God. They tell them you got to wait. They tell them, you got to do this, you got to do that. They think that God's going to give them this quickie, as I call it. And so they get mad with the person, and they'll, you know, cause they have to wait, or they get mad with the people. Like I tell people a lot of times, they tell me about the state of North Carolina won't do that. I tell them they're not my God. No one is my God but God. He's the only one who can say what I can't have. I don't care what somebody try to hold or what somebody try to do. You ain't got nothing to do with me because when God gets ready, you have to turn it loose. You have to let it go because he has made a promise. But see, that's someone who faith is totally in God, not just for what he promised them to do, but also they're doing to God what they promised him they're going to do. But anyway, the 16th verse of this, behold, this is what Jesus told the disciples and the apostle basis, the same one. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. When you go out to minister, when you go out to shop or whatever, and a lot of times he'll use you, he says, I send you for you the sheep in the midst of wolves. He's telling you the people out there, they are wolves. So if he's telling you this, he's telling me this, why should I think they should be angels? Because I'm not accepting his word. For some reason, I'm saying, well, they say this and that. I don't care what they say. Because I had someone tell me, I think maybe a few months ago, they was talking about someone, but they'll preach, I don't care what they are. The Bible says you know the tree by the fruit. Go with the word. I'm not saying sit and judge people and talk about them. Because, you know, if you got a pole in your eye, you ain't got nobody trying to tell nobody nothing. If you ain't walking in total obedience to God's will, you ain't got nobody telling nobody nothing. Because that's when you're judging. But if you walking and you doing what God done called you to do, and I'm not talking about just going to church. I'm not talking about just sitting and praying and sitting and reading the Bible. I'm talking about if you're not out there winning souls and you're not out there healing people, delivering people, and setting people free, that's when you'll get persecuted. Really, if you're not doing that, because that's what we all are called to do. So I cannot be throwing rocks at somebody else. Okay? Jesus said, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they will scourge you in that synagogue. They will beat you. He's telling us this will happen. He's telling the disciples, because I have called you and I'm sending you forth. You're not going forth amongst the angels and, I mean, you know, but he said against wolves. But not everybody out there is not angels. And I told you all before, in teaching, I said back in a couple of weeks ago, in the body of Christ, everybody's not a genuine sheep. Just because they go to church, just because they tend to read the Bible, just because they give you a word of prophecy, whatever they do, it's the fruits of the present life. You can tell by the fruits whether they really is of Christ or not. But we're so caught up into all these activities, you know, because I know a lot of time with me, been over the years and many people, they love to want to tell me about what kind of vision they had. They've been in heaven. They what does that mean? You done been all them places and you still acting ugly? Because why? They're trying to compete. And even the person in the world that don't know, because Jesus said in his word, when he came back, he gave gifts unto men. We all, when we come into the world, has already been given gifts. Whatever the title, whatever, because I have people have problem not talking about that. But, you know, they don't believe in titles and people accept titles. You need to worry about your own soul salvation. God has already given gifts unto people. These people that is accepting what God called them to, they getting persecuted by the one, not the world, but Christians. Well, they shouldn't say they did this. They shouldn't say they that. You know, you don't know what God done told them. You don't know what God done called them to do. But anyway, he said you're going to be beat. When you stand up before councils, people, ministers, whoever it is, he said, but when they deliver you up, he said the enemy, deliver you up to the people, take no thoughts how or what you should speak, but it should be given you in that same hour what you should speak, because the Spirit of God is going to speak. A lot of times, people, well, you know, well, Pastor, what you taught, or Sister Ruth, what you taught, the Spirit of God in me speaking. And so this is why a lot of people want to receive. That's not maybe. They do a lot of people like that. Because of what the Spirit of God is speaking out. He's not speaking what they want. We can't tell the Holy Ghost what to give us. We can't tell them what we need. A person who, I'm telling you, a person who is really yielded to the Holy Ghost, they let the Holy Ghost use them to say, speak to them whatever he want to give a person. It doesn't matter what they want or what they're coming for. If they are yielded by the Holy Spirit, they're going to let the Holy Spirit speak through them to give that person what they need. The damage that they do is come against that person because they think it's them. I don't have to receive that. Or I have people tell me, say, well, you know, when I pray about it or when I do this about it or whatever there, because they stand right there. I don't believe it's God speaking, it's you. But he says this, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger would not follow. And you go back and you think about Moses and you think about Abraham then. You know, the Spirit of God went in them. But when anyone, God gave instruction to whatever, you can't read nowhere where they say they got to pray to make sure. We got the Holy Ghost in us that we say. We got the umpire of the soul. We got the witness in us. Why is having him in us? Now I got to pray to see if that's really him because he know himself in another person. So this is why a lot of time I pray for people's eyes get open and spirit because they don't even get it. They have no discernment. He knows himself in another individual. He knows when he's speaking to that person, to each one of the persons. He knows that the other person, if they have his spirit, automatically they know whether they ever heard it before or not. They know, okay? But he said, but when, I'm going to read that again, 19th, when they deliver you up, take no thoughts how or what you should speak, but it should be given you in that same hour what you should speak. But it is not ye that speaks, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. I've told people this. The kingdom-minded person, not religious, tradition, denomination, they don't have that revelation. But when it's the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God speaks. Okay? It says, for it is not ye that speak it, but the Spirit of Father, your Father speaking in you. They have a different language. Most times you will never hear them say, whenever somebody is speaking, prophesying, or whatever, especially if it's the Spirit of God, if that person's doing it, they said the Spirit of God spoke. Even if you're correcting them, they said the Spirit of God spoke. They got a different language. That's why the Lord is taking us through, stripping us of all this other mess. So we become kingdom-minded people, and we can speak his speak kingdom. We can look at things in the kingdom sense. We'll respect the king, which is him, to rule and reign in our life. There's a different level of understanding. They got a different talk. They got a different way they think. They got a different way they see stuff. This is why a lot of times you seen or what's coming in people, a kingdom-minded person trying to talk to another person, trying to teach them or whatever it is, and they don't understand nothing they're saying. And so they'll think it's that person don't know what they're talking about. Or they don't get it and they don't understand it. But what they not thinking about, they're not in that kingdom realm themselves. Because if they were, he'll automatically know and understand everything they say, even though they're saying it differently. But see, that tell them they're at another realm in the spirit, still on the level of walking in carnality or the worldly or fleshly, that they need to grow some more. They need to be stripped some more. That's what they need to do. But instead of, you know, well, no, because I get this a lot of times, people, no, sister, whatever, you don't understand. I got to tell you this for you to get it. No, you don't. Because if you knew and you said you got a prophetic voice, a lot of times with people that's really the God in them, a lot of times they may ask you something about something, but a lot of times you don't have to because the Holy Spirit already knows. And they're going to say he's not going to deviate. He's not going to deviate. But the 21st verse, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. This is a family. So we got to accept what the Word of God say. This is the 21st verse. He said, and the father, the child. The father, the child. The children shall rise up against their parents and call them to be put to death. This the Bible is talking about, you know, in the latter days, and even now. So all this stuff that Christians say, but that shouldn't happen. The child shouldn't come get the parents. Or the parents shouldn't come get the child. He said it's going to happen. Or even if it's the father against the child. But that shouldn't happen. It's going to happen. No, it probably shouldn't happen, but it's going to happen because he already foretold. He already prophesied it. Brothers against brothers. You don't say that, but even sisters against sisters. Family against family. It's because of the heart. It has nothing to do with Nothing. Like I tell people, the blood of Jesus is purer than any blood. It's the heart of people. The Bible says that's wicked. So when he tells you something in Scripture, that's why I said read the Bible, study the Bible and what it says. So when it happens, you don't be surprised. I'm not surprised when people come against me. I'm not saying it always have felt good. I know why, because they came against Jesus. It's not a cliche with me. Some people say, yeah, he comes against you. I know that, but it just shouldn't. But that go that butt. That go that conjunction. They got something else to say. It's a reality. And this is another 22nd verse to this. And ye shall be hated of all men. For what? For my name's sake. Because you represent Christ. The devil can see Christ in your life. This is about him. It ain't about you or me. Hated me a strong dislike. He said of all men. Not some, all men. And most of what I've seen in my life is the Christians. Go back to Jesus. It was the Pharisees, the Sadducees that came against him. It wasn't the sinner people. It wasn't them. And then after we think it would be them. It was the religious people. Religious people, even today. This is why the Lord said, you know, tell us that the tradition of man had made the word none of God effect. And people still want to hang on to tradition. They want to hang on to religion or add denomination. That's not in the Bible. We're supposed to be a member of the body of Christ. And this is why those people have a different terminology, different what's on, than the one that's kingdom-minded. This is why it seems like we got a very few people kingdom-minded. This is why even in the body of Christ, like I tell people, you know, if you're born again, you're a member of the body of Christ. All this stuff, they got to my joining church. That's not in Scripture. A lot of stuff they do, it's not in Scripture. Read your Bible. And I, you know, there was a time when God had me visiting church, and sometimes it was a church I hadn't been to. They want me to step up as a visitor. I told them, I'm not a visitor. I'm a member of the body of Christ. You need to ask me to step up and tell my name, what church I go to and all this stuff, as I'm a visitor. I am not a visitor of the body of Christ. I am his child. This is why you have to get back to Scripture. And a lot of this stuff that you see them doing, it's not scriptural. But people want to think it is. And they're the one that come against a person who's really kingdom-minded. Well, what church you go to? What this you go to? What that you go to? I am connected to the body of Christ, guess what? By his spirit. Scripture tells us the spirit of God in me and in whoever, we identify by that. And this is why you all have heard me say, this is not me trying to be small, but people are saying that those who claim to have it, just because they're preaching, teaching, prophesy, and they don't know who I am by my spirit, they can't have his Holy Spirit, because he would never deny his own self. We have to go back to the word, and what God is doing, that brings some truth to us so we can come out of blindness for the world, where they have blinded us. But the Bible says, I'm going to read that 22nd verse again, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. It's not about us. It's not about for this, that, and the other. It's because of him. If you weren't of him, they would lick and love you because they love their own. They hate the kingdom of God. See, when I got off the pinnacle of thinking myself or all about me, then I stopped being worried about because they're coming against me. They don't like me. They hate me because I represent Christ. Scripture says, all of those that live godly is going to suffer persecution. It's not you that tearing down the kingdom of God. That's what they're tearing down. Because they're tearing down it all over. I was telling somebody, I think it was yesterday or whenever, but anyway, I was telling somebody, you don't even understand, over here in America, a lot of us not even be persecuted because of the kingdom of God. Because a lot of us are not out there raising the dead. We're not out there casting our devils. We're not doing kingdom work or telling people sin is sin. A lot of us, just in the general, we're not out there living a holy, consecrated life. But people in other country, they're getting persecuted. They're getting put on the cross. They're getting their head cut off because they're telling people about Christ. They're getting hated by family because they're doing it. they choosing to show a difference. Over here, we have no revelation. I'm not saying just in general. It's not everybody. Because even though they are not serving God, we think they're supposed to love us anyway. That's not scripture. We have to stick to the scripture. Then we won't be so disappointed. We won't be so hurt. We won't be so messed up about it because a lot of God's people. You know why they're going through a lot? Because they took this stuff to heart that people did. And then any time your spirit, man, your soul is hurt from something that happened to you, it will affect to your flesh, cause pain and sickness and disease and stuff. And this is why we as a body of Christ need to come up to a place of deliverance. And these people that call themselves preaching, teaching, prophesying need to start delivering people, not telling them they can be delivered, not just prophesying to them. You know, let's go tell them how they need to get there and set some of these people free. Then they won't be doing the things that they're doing. They won't be worried about how people persecuting them. And this, that, well, they say, well, I know it's going to happen, but if you did, you wouldn't complain about it. You tell it as a testimony. You know, I went through this, and guess what? God delivered me. He delivered me from all the pain. Because a lot of times, even to bring deliverance to people, you have to first have to see the root cause in them. When you get the root cause out, sometimes it could be pain, it could be hatred, it could be a lot of stuff people are persecuting, everything. Once you get that out the root, then the sickness sometimes will leave. But a lot of it cause something in the soul. But the 23rd verse says, but when they persecute you, this is what it say, but when they persecute you, not if, not might, or whatever, he said, in this city, flee into ye into another one. For verily I say unto you, ye should not have gone over the city of Israel, and Israel at the time, till the Son of Man be come. For he didn't say to sit there, well, they sit up here and just take it and sit up here and do this. And because sometimes people think that they can change something. They're going to change something. And God tells us in his scripture, what for us to do? Come out from among them, be ye separate. That's what scripture says. So we as people need to obey what the word of God will say. Sometimes I keep telling people, I think yesterday somebody talked to me, and they kept on talking about, but they're trying to tell this person this and tell it. First of all, what they were saying, they had no business. It wasn't even their business. You can't make people change just so you could be around them. But the Bible already told you, you know, first of all, light and darkness can't hang together. They're doing some darkness. Come out from around. Don't be around them. Separate yourself. What will make you think you supposed to be trying to get on them by something they're doing around in your presence? Well, you don't want to call in them or get on the Zoom or whatever the thing is. You the one wrong. That is not your business, what they're doing. Because God sees everything. And if they're supposed to be in God, the Holy Ghost will convict people. God never told us to go around and get on people by doing this, get on people by doing that. That's church. Now, he will send you to a person. When he is ready to bring them in or what, and give you a warning word to give them, and tell them if they don't stop or if they don't come in, he's going to take them out. But he does not send anyone that's beat upon people's head. Because, you know, what would Jesus do that? Well, what you doing this wrong? The Lord don't want you to do this, you know. I get this from people, they're telling people. But where were he when you was out there doing your thing? Where was he? Or when you were hiding in the house or when you do whatever. Where was he? The angels were watching you too. Watching me. I don't go to people. Because Lord had me telling somebody this yesterday. I don't care what I see them doing. I don't think they're supposed to be in church. If God don't tell me to go and warn that person, I'm not going to open my mouth. This is why a lot of times people get the feeling hurt. You get the feeling hurt, you get persecuted. Because they're stepping outside the realm of God. Because whenever God sends a person to warn a person, that means he's ready to bring them in. And one thing for church people don't teach people is God will allow people to go away and backslide to have another testimony or for their ministry. Because the Bible tells, man may devise his way, but God directs the step. No one does anything without God's knowledge, and he's doing it. If he do not stop you, because he got all power, he's going to use it for his glory. And I often had told people the testimony how the Lord had, but I told you when you showed about my daughter, I was running out trying to stop her, and she kept running. He showed me I couldn't stop her, but she ended up in this creek, and nothing but debris, nothing but mess. I didn't see no water, but I knew it was a creek. She came up after a short time with a torch and a baby. God select ministry. He told me she got to go and do all this stuff. I'm going to allow her because of her ministry. Now, if I wasn't a spiritual-minded person, if he had kept me in the religious realm, in the church realm, I never would have understood that. I'd have stayed on her case all the time. I said, well, you know, I taught you, I did this, I raised you, I'm here, you're going to do all of this. Those are people that don't understand the ways of God. But he let me know also, you cannot stop her. Then he had a prophecy. I got her in the palm of my hand. If it's something I don't want her to do, she won't do it. I told God, not the prophet. I told God, I said, that's way out. Because there's a lot of stuff out there. But see, people forget all power's in God's hand. Can't none of us do nothing unless he's like good, bad, or indifferent. That's the reality. So, but why? It doesn't make sense. Because they're supposed to be this and supposed to be that. Well, I'm supposed to be a real true believer, supposed to be a real true minister, you know. But why am I saying and doing the things that I'm doing? Why am I, you know, ignoring the Lord or ignoring what he has called me to, what he done put in me? I'm not doing no more than they're doing. They're rejecting God because they're doing those things. And anytime anybody don't do right, their heart has already left God. This is why I tell people what you got to do is God is sending you to them. Tell them they need to repent and get their heart back to God only when he told you. Then, like I say, then when they do that, it is really did it from the heart, those things are stopped. You can't make people stop doing something because you're telling them. They already know wrong. We go about deliverance the wrong way. That's why God is saying, you know, especially after using me, I know he used other people. It's telling people, you're ministering to people wrong. Because a lot of people is ministering to them from mess that they done been taught how to do it, and it's wrong, and they think it's God. The Spirit of God don't never go out there and beat upon nobody like that. Never. Because all of us, whatever they are, let me tell you something. Scripture tells us, I don't care what he permitted, like, I don't care, I'm not concerned, that's not what I'm saying, but whatever way you think it's wrong, or they think it's wrong, somebody else think it's wrong, when God delivered them people, when he delivered them, they can go into that era of them kind of people, and they can have more compassion and bring them out more than a religious person. Because why? They know what it feels to be like in bondage. Don't think nothing happened. It's just coincidental, or they did say that. That's religious. So that is what that is. I don't care if, take for instance, happy episode, went down the streets, and they turned to alcoholic. First of all, you don't know what happened to their life, why they did. You just said, well, they didn't have to. A whole lot of things we do, we don't have to do. But if God allowed that and didn't stop them, because he can, he got all power. When he delivered them, first of all, they're going to know him by being a deliverer from an alcoholic. And second of all, they can go out there and witness to alcoholics because they know how they feel. They know they're trapped and want to get free. But they know religious people come out there and tell them how they shouldn't drink, how they shouldn't do this. But they're taking a whole lot of medicine. They got them broken crazy too. Or they either got a lot of pride. It's all about me. They act just like a drunk person. Because in the Old Testament, it is a scripture, I think it's open Isaiah, where it talks about that they were drunk, but not with wine. It was on pride. So pride can do the same thing. This is why we have to study the scripture. This is why we have to look up certain things and know when we get to pointing fingers and going on that we could be walking in the same thing, but maybe not be doing what they're doing. But it all comes from the heart. If I'm in pride and I think I'm all of this and a bag of chips, I want everybody to know me and accept me, okay, I'm rejecting Christ too. Although I'm in church, although I'm doing this and doing that, every time I got to do something, I got to be known. Everybody got to see me. Everybody got to tell me, Sister Ruth, you're just a beautiful woman. You're just a beautiful person. That happened to me when I was in the world. I don't need that knuckle. Guess what? I'm fearful and wonderful made because of him, because of Jesus Christ. That part of me has been satisfied by the Spirit of God. If you say it or don't say it, I'm fine. I'm fine with that. That's the place we're supposed to be. But we're going to be persecuted. This is what the 24th verse said. The disciple, which is the follower, the learned student, is not above his master, not the servant above his Lord. What Jesus went through, what he said, you're not above, we're not above him.
Mm-hmm.
Although we read about, you know, he says, whatever he went through, we're going through too. But still, when the Lord had me clock people, but yeah, I know the Bible say that, and this, but you can listen to them in their voice. They still think it shouldn't have happened to them. But every time they get clocked, they try to explain it away. But I don't this and I don't that. But just listen to their voice. You can tell they still hurt over there. Still hurt. I was trying to explain something to somebody yesterday, but they were. You know, it was about something I'm going to go into no detail. But anyway, I was trying to explain them because they think that the world system is trying to hinder them from what God wants them to have. So that's a lie. Because the Bible say that if we commit our ways on him, he's going to bring the past. So I don't care how you try to stop me. I understand that's got to come. That's in anything in life. But God tell me that whatever he said, he's going to do it. So guess what? You're doing exactly what you need, because I need to learn how to spiritually fight. If I don't have no war, if I don't have nothing to fight against, what's the use of me praying? What's the use of me taking the thoughts? What's the use of me doing all this? Just like going in the armed force. They're not going in there just to sit and be sweet and nice and all this stuff. Some of them go in there and go to war, so you got to learn how. That's why they go to boot camp. They learn how to fight. So we come into the kingdom of God to learn how to fight against Satan. Satan got peoples out there. These people that he got, they don't have to smack them. Well, I'm going to pray to see if the devil really telling me to do this. And I'm they're going to willing to do it. Even when he come to Christ, and Christ said, but I want you to persecute my daughter Ruth. I want you to do this to her. He said, okay, let me go find somebody to do it. But I got to pray about it. I got to this about it. I got to that. So a lot of us end up disobeying God. We do some things, but not all things he required, because why the opposition is so strong. And I'm here to tell people, and I still go through opposition, a lot of people. The Lord had already said many times over, and I knew this anyway, because the Lord showed me sometime a long time ago, that the Lord has showed me that it was women's, but it was spirits. So we're going to shut your mouth the last thing we do. So I'm not stupid. When that is being said, I know that as I walk with the Lord, I'm going to run across this opposition that will stop, because he already warned me. He already told me. Walked in church one time, this was some time way back, and the bishop, but he was a prophet too, stopped preaching. When I walked in the church full of people, they preached it later. Nobody wants to hear nothing you got to say. I mean nothing, but they might as well have a millstone hanging around your neck. God had him to say it so often I got shame, because the church was poor. But it was happening, I knew that. But God wanted me to let me know. This is part of what to expect. And he also told me personally, there will be people that will never understand you or like you. See, with me, it's not telling me that then when it happened, I'm surprised it happened. I'm surprised this. No, I'm not surprised. I had to get over it and come to a place that they expected. I expect the opposition I get, not only on this ministry, but I was on the other ministry, on the other show, when I was doing pastoring. I knew that the enemy did not want to go forward. I knew when I was saying even about this one, I kept saying this, you know, what's coming. And people, all this. When God had confirmed, I knew I was right, because I know how the enemy operates. But I know because of what God wants to do. And this is not only just in my life, in your life, or whatever it is. The enemy is not going to sit up and let you tear down his kingdom. Because if you're thinking that, you need the reality check. You need a reality check, because that is his job. That was what he was purposed for when he was thrown out of heaven, to still try to take the kingdom of God, still try to establish his kingdom. That's when you learn to do spiritual warfare, prayer, and fight against him with the word of God, fight against him with your faith, persevere. That's why those weapons are put in the Bible. They're not putting that just to be on pages, or just for me to say it, but yet see what I'm coming against them. But they shouldn't do this. and they don't this, and they don't that, they don't other. No. But I take the word of God. I take the word of God. This is why a lot of times when any of you hear me talking or whatever, I'm always saying the word of God. Say the word of God. The word of God. The word of God. Yeah, Christians have got mad with me. I'm stone cold mad with me. But you don't understand, Sister Ruth, what's my perception of things is different from yours. I see it different. I see it's a part of what I need. That's why he told me to put on the whole armor, God. The whole armor. Why would he tell me to dress like that? Tell me why I'm dressed like that. And then ain't going to let no enemy come against me. No, I know. That's why I'm saying a lot of time we don't, people, my God, people don't have really true discernment. Because if you walk in a lot of incarnation and a lot of flesh of thinking, this is the way you're going to think. This is the way you're going to see things. That has to be stripped off completely. And you can see that you represent Christ. This other spirit is like that. Then they don't. Because there's more Christians that come against me and reject what I say. I don't want to hear what I say than it is the world people. The world people, I can sit and talk to them. I don't sit and talk to them. They talk about the Lord. I can sit and talk to them. And they can talk back. They don't be arguing back. They don't be talking about, well, you don't understand. I don't get that from them. But I'm just trying to help you to understand. It's those that claim to name the name of Christ. How in the world can another person that have Christ in them reject the Christ in another person? Or they don't want to hear what that person say. They hear this person. See, we got to go back to the word of God. But let me go ahead on down this and finish. But the 24th verse, the disciple is not above his master. Remember that. We are not above Jesus. We're not above him. So if he went through, we're going to go through. And the Bible says he learned obedience through suffering. We know he did that as an example because we know he never were disobedient, but we were. We is and we were. You can only learn obedience, according to Scripture, through your suffering, through your going through your being persecuted, and all the different tests and different trials. And every one of us has certain trials or tests that God has already appointed for us to go through. It was already appointed when we was in our mother's womb. Everything you went through, I don't care what it was. It was a part of your life, not to destroy you, to perfect you, because he knew when we get in the world, we're going to get some stinky thinking, we're going to get some fleshy stuff, and so the certain ministry, people have to go through certain things for this certain kind of ministry they got. Have to go through the person of, basically, I'm going to go through a lot of persecution. 9 times out of 10, the mantle they got in their life is really going to be for they're going to come against Satan's kingdom. And so he already started people hating him. Sometimes people that go through a lot of sickness, 9 times out of 10, they're going to have a healing ministry. You got to be on the heck to know what it feels like to go through it in order to have compassion for other people. It's not just having no faith. It's just not that. You got to feel them people's pain. Sometimes God lets you feel their pain, even before he lets you meet somebody, they got the same pain. But see, this stuff they're not teaching people in church. So a lot of the people that go to church, they don't even understand that and know that. Because they're not teaching. I understand that people can't teach something. They never let God take them through and train them to teach them anyway to let them know something, whatever it is. You can't tell nobody what it is to be like to be hungry if you always have had food. Or you ain't went through the stuff where you have to pray for your food. Everything. That's the point he's trying to get us to see. It's not by coincidence, whatever it was, of the living in a house or whatever it is. I said, for instance, like me, when he had me, what's called, where they finally come out to do something, but I'm still believing go. But anyway, how can I tell people, I'm sitting here, being comfortable and all this stuff, but God wouldn't let a lot of people come by and know what more people call me. But I wasn't complaining, and I wasn't this. Because, see, I've always have known, not just here, in other places God has sent me, more places since I've been since I've been saved than I was when I was saved. But I always have known it was not for a place to stay. I had to be in that place, in that area, for either to minister to people, to pray in that area, or whatever. I was there for an assignment. It was the Christian didn't understand. Wow, well, you need another place. Or either say, well, you know, God would never let you live in this. What are you talking about? Read the Bible. Jesus, you know, when it says, he said, he don't even have a place to lay his head. Now, you know he come from heaven ahead of that, but he was trying to let people know, even on earth, I'm living like this to show you. You might have to go through that too. Or when Paul prayed 3 times for that thorn to be left out of his flesh, God never did take it out. Never did. So for whatever reason, not people want to think that he's this new God and you, oh, he just loved me so much and he don't want me to go through. The word of God says the disciple is not above his master. Ain't no way he's changed. And I know I'm using incorrect English, but I'm doing it on purpose. We're going to all go through, some people more than other people. Especially when purpose. Let me tell you something. Those people that you see out there, I'm talking about walking in some supernatural. People healing, delivering, and setting free. They have been through so much and still going through so much persecution to stop them from establishing the kingdom. They establish the kingdom of God. They don't complain about it. They know it's a part of their calling. That's why you hear people say, you see the glory, you see the anointing, but you don't know the story that they went through. Don't know the story at all. So sometimes people won't tell you because they need to tell people to help them. This is what I had to pay. This is what I had to go through. But guess what? I thank God for delivering God. I thank God for setting me free. Trying to minister to a lady here recently, but she's been in church forever. But anyway, you know, she didn't come out. But anyway, I was trying to let her know God is ready for her to step out and step up. And so she was, you know, telling me about what all she had been through as a child, this, that, and the other, and the whole family. I said, but God is the deliverer. I went through too. I came up poor, 3-room shack. This happened, that happened. But look at me now. God delivered me from all of that. Now the anointing's on my life. He could not anoint my life as long as I'm holding the pain and hurt. This is why you're not into what you should be into. Because you think this shouldn't have happened. You should have been born with different parents and different this. No, we all were born with the right parents he gave us at the right time or whatever year it is or whatever it is. That's another thing. People need to stop worrying about whenever somebody was born. They didn't come here on their own. I don't care nothing about our parents got together and did what they did, and God allowed us to come. That was the time you're supposed to come. I don't care if it was back in the 1900s. That was the time you're supposed to come. You can't help when you was born. You can't help how you was born. You can't help who your parents were. All this carnality stuff, fleshly stuff, world stuff, this is why we can't grow in Christ. This is why. But I'm going to read that last verse. Say, it is enough for the disciples, verse 2, that he be as his master. We got to be as Jesus. And stop complaining about it, stop worrying about it, stop this, that, and all the stuff that we're doing. And the servant as his Lord, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, which is basically a name of Satan or the prince of demons, how much more shall they call them of his household, your relatives? All this stuff that they lied on me. They put my name out. They did me like that, too. They did Jesus like that, too. But it's a part of being who you are. He said, we got to be as our master. Who is our master? Jesus. We have to accept that. We have to accept all the word. If I can accept the word by he's my blessing me and doing this for me and giving me this, why can't I accept the word when he said I'm going to be persecuted, when he said I'm going to be hated? I'm not saying it's a pleasant thing to be, because really I'm a person that loves people. Now, I'm not going to compromise and all that stuff. And I know that when you love is an action which you're supposed to show back. Now, a lot of people tell me they love me, but that ain't what their heart shows me. That's not what their heart shows me. Believe from the love, you know, without a heart. But I can't waste time on that. I don't care if it's family. I can't waste time on that. Because you got to have it in you to be able to give it out. Even if I'm a minister. If I ain't got love in my heart for God and his people, I'm not going to give it out. I'm going to give it out to certain people. I'm going to do it when I get ready to do it. I'm going to hear certain people. Certain people I'm not going to hear. That's not the way it is. But he said it is enough for the disciples that to be as his master. He wanted to know that his disciples should expect persecution. Come from Matthew, the 10th chapter, started 16 verses going down, and because there's another one in Luke that God's going to have me to go to. But tell people, we got to get out of this realm. It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't be. We worry more about what, and it's getting ready to get worse. That was a disciple that had the head cut off. That was a disciple that was bored in oil. People nowadays just living, it ain't the same nowadays. Christ is the same. These people were willing to die for him. God got people now, mostly in other country, they're willing to die for the sake of Christ. Over here, we don't even want to die for the sake of our flesh. But we said we love Christ. No, we don't. Because what it takes us to go through to get to the place we want to get to bless us, we don't want to go through. I'm tired. I've been going through this a long time. And this is why I talk to people and hear people. Sometimes people have been in, sometimes a short time. Sometimes they've been in a long time, but they have not allowed the Lord through the work in them. And I've been going through this a long time. I've been waiting a long time. I've been waiting much longer. Let me tell you something. When you talk about that, you think that you deserve to get out of it. I said, but something that I've been waiting a long time, while I'm ministering, I'm talking truly ministering to other people. Not every once in a while, but truly ministering, pastor people. God had me waiting longer than some of the jokers that I was ministering to for. And some things I'm still waiting on. Because it wasn't to me about what he's going to do for me and give me. I was called to do what I'm doing. I'm not saying nobody else is not. So it's not about that. But I'm going to stop here because of time. But anyway, I bless y'all, but God, woman, it's just... I cannot explain how I can't really go another way, and I do know sometimes people that may not understand, they want the Spirit of God because it's something else they want or something else they did, or they may want the Holy Spirit to prophesy or whatever. He is the Word. He gave me the Word. But it's just like it's a burning down in my belly. It just comes out. So this is what he wants me to do and bring. This is what he wants me to do. So basically, like I say, what we as a people got to understand, when you become a vessel of the Lord and you really, he's Lord of your life, you move like he wants to, not like people want. And like I said with me, I say it again. If he don't give me nothing, show me nothing, I ain't saying nothing. I'm not going to even ask him to give me anything. Because if he wants to, I'm his vessel. He can use me if he wants to. It don't mean, like I say, that I don't know what's going on in the spirit or what people expect and what people want. I do know, but he knows what we need. But I just want to encourage you all and bless you all and love you all. I got to do what I got to do. I got to really get people to that place because the persecution stuff coming out, I do know for a fact, a lot of Christians, they will not be able to make it because the word is in their head, not in their spirit. So one of my jobs is, not just me, but I'm talking about me, is to get that word so down in their belly. They come hell or high water, they stand like soldiers and champs. And ain't paying no attention to that, but keeping their eyes on what they need to be keeping their eyes on. But y'all be blessed. Love y'all until another time. And I bless you all. And I am standing and praying for you all that you, if whatever God purpose for your life to be, what he been called you for to be, and everything that come with it in the name of Jesus. But I do know, first of all, the spiritual thing come first. And that's what I always pray and believe with people, but the spiritual first. Other stuff, you get that, other stuff is going to come. In his season of time. But be blessed and love y'all and continue to have a blessed night. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.